بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Listen. 53 of the Farsi original book is the type of relation between dunya and akhirah, between this world and the hereafter. We said there is relation, but now we want to see what type of relation. The very basic fact is that having faith and good deeds would be reflected positively. Okay? It improves your situation. And having bad actions or lacking faith would be reflected negatively. Okay? So this is very obvious. It's self-evident. So not only there is relation, there is this type of relation, that for having reward, iman helps, good actions help. And for punishment, rejection of faith and doing bad actions, this would contribute or cause punishment. But we want to go further. We want to really understand what is the type of relation. Some people may think when we talk about reward or punishment, it is based on a kind of agreement or contract. For example, you know, in some countries, maybe they say a speeding fast is a crime or offense, and they will fix punishment. In some countries, maybe they say a speeding fast is not a problem. Even those who say it's a problem, maybe they have different speed limits. They decide. Or what should be the punishment? What should be the fine, the penalty? So to have it at all or not to have it, when to have it, how much penalty, based on the decision made. And these decisions can sometimes be arbitrary. They think it is good decisions. After some time, they change. Or different countries have different choices. Or, for example, you know, to drive on the right or drive on the left. Okay? It's based on agreement or on a law, for example, which is passed. It doesn't make difference as long as you are consistent. But the relation between your actions in dunya and the hereafter is not based on a decision or a contract, something that you can negotiate or you can question. It's a reality. Your a'mal and your traits of character and your iman have real relation with what you are going to see in the hereafter. But when I say real, it doesn't mean physical, chemical, material relation. Okay? Because sometimes physically, chemically, there is no difference. For example, a person who does a good action or a person who does the same action with bad intention, from a physical point of view or a chemical point of view, there might be no difference. Yeah? This reality is something that science may not be able to understand. It's another type of reality, but there is reality. So, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لَأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ. This ayah is Surah Baqarah, verse 110. What you send in advance for yourself from good things, you will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah. So, tajeduhu, this pronoun refers to مَا تُقَدِّمُوا لَأَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ, means the same thing you find it there. Okay? The same thing is transferred there. It's not that what you have done and sent in advance, you would see the result of it. Or you would see the reward of it. No, it says تَجِدُوهُ, you would find it itself. Is it clear? Your Arabic helps you, yeah? مَا تُقَدِّمُوا لَأَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عند الله. Or in Surah Ali Imran, verse 30, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا. The day every soul finds what has done from good present is brought there. If you have done something good, you would see it there. Okay? If you have helped someone, if you have done some ibadah, if you have done mubahasa, you would see your mubahasa there. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ, and then the bad thing, not studying, not doing mubahasa, not helping, not taking notes. Okay? تَوَدَّلُوا أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. He wishes that there would be a very big distance between him and the bad things. It means that the bad things are also there. He would see them. He would find them. Muhdar. Muhdar is from ihdar, means to bring. Yeah, ihdar. It's from hudur. Hudur means presence, but ihdar is mutaaddi. Yeah, it's transitive. Ihdar means to bring. Hudur means to be present. So, when you do good, you will find it there. Sometimes, you know, when we do something good and no one appreciates or no one even knows, you feel a little bit sad. Yeah? But we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and everything will be brought. Yeah? Bad things also will be brought there, even if dunya, no one knows about them. Another ayah is Surah Naba, verse 40. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. The day man, and man here means human being, okay? Man or woman doesn't make difference. The day human beings would see what they have sent in advance with their both hands. What they have sent. You would see your action. Or in Surah Zilzal, verse 7 and verse 8. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. The one who does the slightest amount of good would see it. Or the slightest amount of bad would see it. It doesn't say would see the results. It would see the bad action, the good action. Yeah? Yarahu. Or إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا. Those who eat the money of the orphans unjustly, means they misappropriate, they usurp the money of the orphans, they are eating fire. Okay? So from these verses, and we have many hadiths, we realize that punishment or reward are manifestation of the same things that we have been doing, or the same qualities that we have had, they become manifest. يوم تبلى السرائر. Yeah? All your hidden traits of character, they become manifest. So this is the maximum relation. It's a, maybe you can say it's a kind of unity actually. Yeah, it's more than, because sometimes relation is real, but it's cause and effect. Cause and effect. For example, you exercise and then you have health. Health and exercise have real relation, but they are not the same. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Exercise leads to health. Good nutrition leads to health, but they are not the same. Or you study and you learn. So a study leads to learning. So the relation, although it's real, but it's not unity. But when it comes to the actions and reward and punishment, it's more than cause and effect. Yeah? So not only it's real, it's a kind of unity. The same thing would be represented to you. So indeed, what we are going to suffer is we are going to suffer from our own action or from our own bad akhlaq, bad traits of character. We are going to suffer from that. This is what ulama sometimes mean when they say you would see the malakuti forms of your actions. Because the same action in malakut, they are present and they have a form. So for example, eating the money of orphans in malakut is eating fire. Or backbiting is eating flesh of your dead brother. Okay? So it's the same thing. It can be seen in dunya without understanding the ugly face of it or the beautiful face of it, but in the hereafter, you would see it in its true face. Okay, this is about the relation between the a'mal in dunya and the traits of character in dunya and akhirah. The next lesson, which is lesson 54, is about the role of iman and kufr, faith and lack of faith in happiness or lack of happiness. One of the things that you find very much confusing for some people is to understand the nature of iman and kufr, especially kufr. You many times see people, Muslims sometimes non-Muslims, when they refer to the verses of the Quran about Alladina kafaru or kafirun, they think that every non-Muslim is kafir. But it's not the case necessarily. Many times I have told you that Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayh in Al-Mizan, Volume 1, he says, kufr has four meanings. And only one meaning is kufrul juhud. And kufrul juhud, which is a common meaning when there is no other evidence in the Quran, is applied only to people who deliberately deny the truth and fight against the truth. So kafaru or kafirun or kuffar, in most of the cases in the Quran, Allah Tabatabai says, refer to people like Abu Sufyan, like Abu Lahab, not to non-Muslims who are good people, for example, and they just have not been able to find the truth. Or maybe they are, for example, people of the book, kafir or kuffar, in most of the cases, only refer to the people who have kufr al juhud. So it's very important to understand the definition of iman and kufr and their role in our happiness or lack of happiness. In early Islam, they had very hot debate and discussion about what is the nature of iman and kufr. You know, some people had the idea that as soon as someone commits a sin, he becomes kafir, like Khawarij. Khawarij had the idea that if you commit a sin, you are kafir, and then you should be killed. You know, today we have, you know, modern Khawarij. They don't kill you by sword, but they have the same mentality as Khawarij. And it's interesting that they then commit all the sins and they are proud of it. But if someone else does something, they say kafir. So there was debate about the role of actions in iman. For example, you might have heard this story that when Wasil ibn Atta was asked about the relation between a'mal and iman, and if someone is murtakibul kabira, if someone commits a major sin, is he mu'min or kafir? Because this was the debate. So he said, manzilatun baynal manzilatayn. He said, neither he is mu'min nor he is kafir. Wasil ibn Atta. So after that, he left the circle of, I think it was Hassan al-Basri, if I'm not mistaken. And it is said that Hassan al-Basri said, i'tazala anna. He left us. Or he might have said, i'tazil anna, because you can pronounce it in two ways. I'tazil anna means leave us, or i'tazala anna, he left us. And this is the beginning of Mu'tazilite school. Yeah, Mu'tazilite school started because of this sentence.
So Mu'tazil was the name of the man?
No, it was a title given because of this incident. Wasil ibn Atta, he said, manzilatun baynal manzilatayn. Murtakibul kafira is neither mu'min nor kafir, something in between. So this was a big debate. So what we want to explain first is the true nature of iman and kufr, and then inshallah we will talk about their role in the happiness. Iman is different from knowledge. It's different from certainty. Iman is not just to know the truth, to know that God exists, to know that, for example, this is the message of God. No, to know is not enough. Do you know why? Because sometimes people know and they don't accept, in the sense that they don't submit. They don't, you know, commit themselves. Quran says, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا. They denied the signs of God, but in their souls, in their hearts, they were certain. Why they denied while there were certain ظلمان وعلوفان out of injustice and arrogance. You know, for them to accept, for example, that this man is a prophet of God meant that they might lose their worldly position. They might need to obey him and, you know, respect him. It was difficult for them. It was against their selfish interests. In a disc, pardon? Surat Naml, verse 14. In a conversation between Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam tells Fir'aun, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You certainly know that these mu'jizat, these signs, these miracles are not sent except by the Lord of the heavens and the earth. You know that. Fir'aun was aware that this cannot be done, especially because he knew Musa very well. Musa didn't have, you know, white, shining, you know, hand, you know, before. Yeah, if no one knew, Fir'aun must have known at least, because he was brought up in the house of Fir'aun. Or this a stick becoming a dragon, so, or a snake. So he knew that this is mu'jizah. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنزَلَ هَاُولَىٰ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. But did his knowledge make him believe? No. When did he believe? When he was dying. We had it before, yeah? He said, now I believe آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ. This is Surah Yunus, verse 90. He said, I believe in the fact that there is no God but the one that Banu Israel have believed in him. Okay? So, knowledge is not enough. Yes, knowledge is a condition. You know, there is a discussion whether knowledge is needed for Iman or not. Some Christian thinkers, theologians, they have the idea that knowledge is not needed. You don't need to know so that you believe. Even some of them say, believe and then you know. Okay, so they have this idea that you don't need to prove rationally, you believe. Or for example, you know, some people even say that you have to be able to take a risk and to jump without taking risk and, you know, doing a jump of faith, you are not a believer. Even some of them, like Kierkegaard, have this idea. But the very famous idea is, you believe and then you know. But in Islam, especially in the school of Ahlul Bayt, we say no. You must first know and then you believe. If you don't know, it's not sufficient. Okay? Even if you study all the Risala Amaliyya and all the manuals, practical laws, books, they say when it comes to the usul, the basic principles of faith, not only you should have yaqeen, but also you should have proof. Because yaqeen, if it is not backed up by proof and arguments, then first of all, it is weak, it can be challenged, and also can be superstitious, yeah? Because sometimes people have yaqeen without reason. They just have yaqeen because this is the way they have been told from childhood, okay? So you should have yaqeen and reasoning, argument, proof, istidlal, burhan. So for us, knowledge is very important. Knowledge is a condition, but is not enough. There are many things that unfortunately we know, but we don't act upon it. I don't know if you are familiar with the discussion between Socrates and Aristotle. Even Socrates and Aristotle had this debate. Socrates had the idea that the only problem or the fundamental problem is jahl, ignorance. Because when people know, then they act morally. But Aristotle said no. Sometimes people act bad things, do bad things because they don't know. And sometimes people do bad things although they know. And therefore, a discussion started about moral weakness. You know, in ethics, we have this discussion, moral weakness, which means that you know something is bad, but still you are not submitting yourself to that knowledge, that fact. Then there is a discussion, and some people say maybe Socrates meant knowledge which is very obvious. If you have a knowledge which is like intuitive knowledge or a knowledge which is like ilm-e huzuri, something that which is very powerful, you cannot ignore it. You know, like a person who has seen hell. If you have a vision and see the hell, that knowledge is different from knowing that there is resurrection and there is going to be hell and heaven. Anyway, I don't want to go to that discussion, but for sure, what is obvious is that sometimes we do things which are bad and we know they are bad and still we do them. Sometimes we don't accept things. For example, in a debate, in a quarrel between me and my wife or husband or brother, sister, neighbor, colleagues, sometimes I know that I am wrong, but I don't want to accept. Yeah? This happens. Sometimes people, unfortunately, they are so much heedless that even they don't think about being right or wrong. They just keep arguing. And after they finish, maybe after one day, 2 days, you know, then they think what they said. This is not the habit of mu'min. Before you discuss, think about it. And be critical of yourself. There is great chance that we don't see our problems. You know, the world is not as bad as we think, and people are not as bad as we think. We have put the glass of our ego, and we look at everyone from our ego, then we find there are problems. They don't appreciate me enough. You know, unconsciously we think like this. Why they are not very kind with me? You know, we think we deserve more. But just remove that ego, that glass, look at the world as it is. You see, it's not that bad. Especially if everyone removes that glass. It'll be heaven, a worldly heaven. So, knowledge is needed, but it's not enough. So what is extra to knowledge? What is extra to knowledge? There is an act of heart which is needed. Knowledge is what your mind is doing. In ilm-e husuli, of course, we are not talking about ilm-e huzuri, we are talking about ilm-e husuli. Is something that your mind does. Knowledge is the action of mind, yeah? And you know, knowledge is not that much in your control. Okay? For example, if something happens in front of your eyes, can you say, I don't want to know? I don't want to see? Yes, maybe before that, you can avoid what could lead to that. Otherwise, many times you cannot avoid knowing something. When a prophet has brought mu'jiza, you cannot say, I don't want to know. It has happened. So it's not a voluntary action to know. Okay? Knowing something happens when there is evidence, when there is, I don't know, encounter, you know. But iman and kufr are voluntary. So it's not an action of mind. It's action of heart. Because heart is where your will is there. So iman is to accept, to believe, to commit, to submit yourself to the truth. This is Iman. Something that you know, then if you show humbleness before this truth, this is Iman. If you show love, if you open your heart to this truth, this is Iman. But if you know, but still you insist on acting as someone who doesn't know, still you ignore it, still you want to do whatever you like, not what this requires, you reject it, you close your heart to this, this is kufr. Okay? So these are voluntary actions. And this is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises mu'minin or blames kuffar. Because this is a moral action. This is something that you do it responsibly. And in the book, there is a phrase, maybe it's difficult to understand because it needs a terminology from mantiq. But I think in mantiq, you have studied Adam and Malakeh. You know, there are four types of taqabul. Tazad, tazayuf, tanaquz, Adam and Malakeh. Have you studied this? If you have studied, you haven't done mubahasa. You haven't studied? تقابل تقابل تباين you haven't studied okay you know there are four types of تقابل when two concepts are opposite to each other sometimes is تناقض contradiction okay sometimes it is tazad. Tazad means amran wujudiyan, two existential qualities that conflict each other. Like colors, whiteness and blackness. Okay? They cannot come together, but both of them are. And then we have tadayuf. Tadayuf are two things that are opposite to each other, but for the sake of understanding one, you need the other. Like فوق and تحت, to be above or to be under. Or أبوّت and بنوّت, parenting and child, being child, parent and child. They are two opposite concepts, but one of them is near. So one of them was Adamu Malakeh. Malakeh doesn't mean queen. Malakeh here means equality. So what does it mean? Like, for example, jahl, for example, and ilm. Ilm and jahl are opposite. But jahl is used for something which can have knowledge. We don't say to a stone that it is jahil. Because a stone cannot have ilm. Okay? Or we don't say to a stone that it is blind. To be able to see, a'ma or basir are two opposite things, but we use them for something which can have this quality. We call it adamu malakeh. So, kufr is sometimes used as not having iman. So a human being, for example, or jinn, can have iman, and if there is no iman, we say kufr. This is a very broad sense. But many times when we say kufr, we mean something which is wujudi, existential. Not just not to have iman, to have juhud, to have a stubbornness and rejection of truth. You know, a quality that is arrogance. Do you understand? So, if it is just not having iman, so a person who is still studying, a person who is in doubt, all of them are included in this broad sense of kufr. But in this narrower sense, kufr is for the people who are like Abu Sufyan, who deny the truth. They are arrogant. Is it clear? So, iman is something that is preceded by knowledge, but it starts with acceptance by heart or submission of heart to the truth. When you accept, then you utter the words. For example, you say shahadatain. But this shahadatain is not iman. You know, some people think that its declaration is iman. Iqrarun bil lisan. This is not iman. Maybe a person is deaf. Dull. Cannot explain. Or maybe a person is doing taqiyya. Or maybe a person believes and then without having opportunity to declare this, he dies. Okay? It's not that he saw the death and he believed. He genuinely believed, but he doesn't see anyone and then he dies. This is not a condition for iman. Yes, in ordinary cases, when you believe, you also declare it. And actions. Iman should lead towards actions, good actions. But again, actions are not in the essence of iman. Maybe a person believes at 8 o'clock in the morning, and before midday he dies. He has not prayed, he has not fasted, he has not gone for hajj, he has not given zakat, but he's a mu'min. Okay? Yes, if there is opportunity, if there is enough time, if there are means, automatically iman would lead to action. So in some hadith we have this, al-iman tasdiqun bil-qalb wa iqrarun bil-lisan wa amalun bil-arkan. Means you confirm and accept and commit yourself to the truth with your heart. You declare with your tongue and you do action by your organs, with your organs, your hand, foot, what, eyes. But this is when everything is ready. Otherwise, the main thing is that taslim. That is the core. The other things are branches, are the fruits, are the outcomes. I have a paper, inshallah, you can find it online. If you don't find, I can send you the link. It's called Reason, Faith, and Authority. So there I have tried to explain what is the nature of iman, and what is the relation between reason and iman, reason and faith and authority. So, pardon? The paper. If you go to Google Reason, Faith, and Authority, my name, inshallah, it will come. Or otherwise, Message of Thaqalain is there. And the first volume of Catholic Shia, first volume of Catholic Shia. So this is a discussion about iman and kufr. The next question is, how much iman is needed for happiness, for sa'adah? Those of you who attended Akhlaq lectures, I think we talked about this when we were talking about what is the bottom line. If someone has no iman, are his actions moral or not? Okay, and I said some ulama suggest that if there is no iman, it seems it's useless. But I said this is not correct in my understanding. This is not what the Quran or Hadith say. You remember? But we said, yes, in order to go to heaven, Iman is a condition. But in order to be appreciated by God and to be given some kind of reward, maybe in dunya or maybe by reducing punishment, this is not dependent on having Iman. There are people who have no Iman and have done good things Allah will appreciate. Or there are people who have Iman, but they haven't done their amal for the sake of Allah. They did it naturally. We had big discussion about this. Anyway, here there's a discussion. I would like to stop here and ask you, inshallah, to have a mubahisa on this issue. So please have a mubahisa, and I will ask you, inshallah, next week before we start, about lesson 54 in particular. Of course, 52, 53 are important. You can have mubahisa. But especially about this issue of Iman. What is the nature of Iman? What is the prerequisite of Iman? What are the outcomes of Iman? And what is the role of Iman in Sa'adah? Okay? And use, inshallah, that paper. Use the book. Think, discuss. And then I will, inshallah, ask about your mubahisa in the next session. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.